Appreciate the singing. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I want to look at the sower, the seed, and the soil. I'll not deal with all of it this morning, I'm sure. There's no way in the world. But I want to try and just sort of take a peck at it. The sower, the seed, and the soil. Jesus makes a turn in his ministry here in this chapter. He has been walking the country, proclaiming the truth, working miracles, helping multitudes of people. He did not heal or help or touch just a few here and there. Multitudes, whole cities he healed. It says that he healed everyone on occasions. So his reputation, his message has become well known. You would think everybody would say, thank the Lord for sending his son. Thank God for speaking to us. I want to hear what God says. I need his voice. Sadly, that was not the case. As it is now, it was then. Many said, not interested. Many said, I don't agree with that. Many heard God's voice and refused to listen. And for that reason, Jesus began to speak in parables. Notice in verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and set of the sea. And the multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. That's a sad story. He is now, not only, but quite a bit, speaking in parables. A parable, someone has said, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A physical story with a spiritual meaning. It is like I say that I threw the ball. Well, you can picture that. But I can apply that to some spiritual aspect of life, and we can understand not only the physical part, throwing the ball, but the spiritual part of how it applies to our lives. That is a wonderful thing if you're a believer. For a believer, with the help of the Holy Spirit, can see the spiritual truth and understand even better what the Lord is saying. Picturing the flying ball applying to the spiritual point helps us see even better what the Lord is saying, if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, however, somebody says throwing the ball, you say, what in the world is he talking about? What is he trying to say? They have not the Holy Spirit to enlighten them about that picture, that parable, and they are saying, I can't understand. And he spoke in parables to make sure they did not understand. Why? Because he had spoken clearly, plainly, and they had refused to hear. They are getting what they deserve. In these verses, Jesus gives a parable again about a sower, about seed, and about soil. He expounds the parable in verses 3 through 8. He will explain the parable in verses 11 through 20. Could I mention first, the message is expounded. Jesus gives this story about a sower that sows seed in soil. Once again, we find in verse 1, the crowds are so large, they are pressing upon him so much that he actually has to board a ship, push off from shore to where he could have some space between him and the crowd where they would not stomp him, to where he could be safe and still deliver the message. Crowds coming sounds good. And it would be good if they would just listen, but they're not listening. And therefore, verse 2 says he begins to speak in parables. I want to say right off, it says, and he taught them. Whoa, he speaks. God is speaking. God is speaking. What a delight. What a miracle. We should never take it lightly, the fact that the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, wants to speak to me. What a blessing. He is teaching them, but he's teaching them in parables. Someone has said, I have no reason to deny it, that one third of what Jesus says from this point on was in parables. So this is a major turn in his ministry. The word parable means to place beside. It is making a comparison. It is making, in this case, a sower and seed and soil. There's a comparison between that physical, that earthly picture, and a spiritual truth that it proclaims. We'll try to look at a little bit about that this morning. Can I mention first, though, I don't want to get too far ahead. When we're looking at parables, there's some things that's very important. I mentioned three things. Number one, every parable has one primary truth. If you do not get this, you will go wacko trying to explain and understand parables. For instance, if we look at Luke 15, where it talks about the lost silver, the lost sheep, and the lost son, the picture, the primary truth of those three parables is this: lost things and how God loves the lost, and he is searching for that is lost. If you go past that primary subject, you're going to get in deep water and drown. There's one primary truth in every parable. Number two, it is important to not overemphasize every point of a parable. I know preachers, and I have been guilty myself, because you know I'm a man of detail. Sometimes that gets me in trouble. But I know that there's a tendency and there's a temptation to take a parable and try to analyze every single point. And that gets you in trouble. So you do not overemphasize every point of a parable. You hang on to the one primary truth and stick with that all the way through the parable. The third thing I'll say about a parable, and try to get started with what I want to say. The context, like all scripture, of a parable is vital if we are to understand what it's saying. I go back to Luke 15. The first couple of verses of that chapter talks about Jesus eating with publicans and sinners, and the Pharisees and scribes says, why does he hang around with these rotten, wicked people? And he gave three parables to show why he did. He loved them. And he's searching for that which is lost. The context of any scripture, especially a parable, which means, what does this mean in the context of the scripture? What does the verses around it, before and after, say? What is it teaching? Those things being said, let's say this. The message is expounding. Number one, the sower. Notice in verse 3, it says, hearken. Here's what Jesus is saying. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Jesus gives an illustration of a sower sowing seed. We dare not go past the fact that there's a sower. He is important to this story. He is vital to this story. He is the one broadcasting the seed in the field. If there is no sower, there is no harvest. And in this case, there's no doubt specifically, directly, the sower is Jesus. Matthew records this parable, and he says, the sower is the Son of Man. So we know the picture is this. The Son of Man has come sowing, speaking, talking to the world. The sower, in this case, again, is specifically the Son of God, but I say this morning, it applies to every believer. If you are a believer, you are a sower of the seed. You are one who is to speak, to tell others about the good things of God. The sower is the one that broadcasts the seed. Everybody in Jesus' day knew what a sower was. It was common. A sower was a man that went down to Dollar General and bought a paper bag. Not really. That was a joke. It's okay to smile. It'll take a while for you to get it. I understand. But he has some seed. And he goes out in that field and he takes his seed, and as he walks a straight line, he's broadcasting the seed. He is casting out the seed. It is necessary that the sower does that, or there is no harvest. The sower is the one that gives out that which he has, the Word of God in this case, as we'll see sometime. The sower is the one that does what is necessary to make sure there's a harvest. I say again, it applies to everyone who is a believer. For we have the Word of God, which is the seed, and we're to share it with others. That sower needs a desire. In fact, a good sower has a desire. He desires that that barren field produce a harvest. He doesn't like dry dirt. He wants green plants and fruit. That sower gets up in the morning, leaves his comfortable bed, goes out into a hot, dry field and labors throughout the day because he has a desire for harvest. And we, since we are sowers, should have a desire to see God move, to see lost souls saved, to see God's people helped by the Word of God. That sower needs a desire. That sower also needs determination. Because there's going to be some mornings he gets up, he don't want to get up. He has no desire for another day of heat and soil and dirt and dust. But he must be determined. Because he realizes, if there's a harvest, I got to get up whether I want to or not. And the same case with us. There'll be times when we know we need to speak God's word, whether it's witnessing or encouraging others or whatever, and we simply don't want to. But we need to have a God-given determination to say that person needs help, that lost person going to hell, I've got the truth that'll help them, there can be a harvest, that discouraged person needs somebody to tell them the word, that person going through trials and troubles needs somebody to help them. I need to cast out the seed and say what I need to say. I need to be a good sower whether I want to or not. That's called determination. I'm talking about the sower. He sows the seed. Number two, the seed. The sower sows seed. There is something in his bag that needs to get in the soil if there's going to be a harvest. Notice what verse 4 said. And it came to pass as he sowed some seed. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. I stopped halfway through that verse. And it came to pass as he sowed some, I stopped there, seed. I have looked at the sower. I want to look for just a moment at the seed. The sower sows seed. That is a picture. That's what a parable is, remember? A picture. And the sowing of the seed is a picture of someone, the Lord or us, giving out, speaking out, releasing the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. It is that God has given us. I want you to touch your Bible right there in your lap. If you're saved, you're a sower, and that's your seed. That's the truth that God has given you to tell others about. Lost people, yes, and saved people also. I may get to that this morning, don't know yet. The potential of the seed. I want to mention, he is giving a parable. And he is saying that the Word of God is like compared to a seed. Well, what in the world does that mean? I want to mention some things of how the Word of God is likened to seed. I mentioned first the potential of the seed. The potential of one seed, just one seed, is incredible. Now, I remember enough about gardens that we always put at least two or three kernels of corn in every spot. But from one seed comes one stalk that has one or two and sometimes more. The world record is 29 ears on one stalk. And each of those ears from that one stalk has from 500 to 1,200 kernels. Each of those kernels represent one seed. So from one seed, there's a multitude of seeds. I'm talking about there's some potential in the seed. I'm looking in faces right now. That somewhere, sometime, somebody sowed some seed and your heart got a hold of it. And right now you're changed because a seed brought forth life in you and you're saved now. And it ain't stopped then. It's still changing you. There's potential. The Word of God has potential to change lives, to produce life. That's why as a sower we need to realize how important it is to cast it out. Oh, listen. The Word of God, the seed, can convert the lost, calm the troubled, comfort the fearful, correct the wondering, challenge the weak, convict the wicked. How can something so big come from something so little? One seed, it's the Word of God. There's the potential of the seed. There's also the permanence of the seed. From the one seed that is cast out comes a stalk or a plant that comes forth. But from that plant comes fruit. And in that fruit somewhere there is more seed. And you can take that seed next year and plant another field full. There is a permanence in it. It goes on and on and on and on. Guess what? So does the Word of God. It is permanent. We don't need to update it. We just need to listen to it. The Word of God, Genesis was written about 3,500 years ago. 40 different writers didn't know, hardly many of them didn't know each other. Some did. Over a time of 1,800 years, and we got one book, it all fits together, it's all alive, it's God's Word. It's a miracle. There's a potential, but there's a permanence. It lasts forever. God says it is forever settled. It'll never wear out. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Then also there's not only the potential and the permanence, but there's the power of the seed. There's power in the seed. I mean by that, once it starts bursting forth, and if you've got a driveway, you know this, it'll push through dirt and roots and rocks and concrete. Anywhere you don't want a weed, you'll find out the power of a seed. That seed has the power to burst forth and push through the obstacles to bring forth fruit. That does me good when I talk to people who I feel like ain't listening. My old buddy, I call him Flop, still came by the house the other day. Flop don't listen. He don't care, but I'm still talking to him, still praying for him. For years, I've tried to tell him about the Lord, try to get him to get saved. He's still hard. But the seed has been planted, and I believe it can push through. There is no heart so hard that the seed can't press through. Oh, listen, keep telling, keep trusting. When the Lord moves on you, I'm not talking about it. We got to tell them every time we see them. That can be counterproductive, but listen to the Lord. I'm talking about no heart is too hard. The power of the seed, it breaks through. And in this day when the hearts are so hard and harder than ever I could ever imagine, we can still say the word, the seed, still is trustworthy. I can still trust it. Then I want to mention the produce of the seed. The produce of the seed. The seed produces food, which produces life. You may have eaten something this morning that came from a seed. More than likely, before you bed your head tonight, you will eat something that gives life to your body that came from a seed. There is produce from a seed. It gives life. Hungry families are fed. I go further. Farmers and store owners and trucking companies benefit from the seed. There's produce. Seed fixes things. The Word of God fixes broken people. It helps the hurting. It gives life to the dead. There's produce involved. I mentioned next, the progression of the seed. Now, this is the part that just eats me alive. I want to put the seed in the ground. I want to walk to the house and get a drink and come back and pull a ear of corn off. Guess what? That ain't never happened, never will happen. There's a progression of the breaking down, of the giving forth of life, of the plant, of the bringing forth of fruit. There's a progression that takes time. So the sower, after he sows, must be patient, must wait. There have been times I gave the gospel to people and bam, they got saved right then. There have been many, like Flop, that I have said many times to them things about the gospel, and there was resistance. But that doesn't mean God's not working. Hey, listen to this. While the sower's sleeping, the seed's still growing. When we feel like we're wasting our time, when it feels like it does no good, when we feel like it's just completely hopeless, hey, just trust the seed of the Word of God. Trust the God of heaven to work and bring forth the progression of that seed. Every preacher, every teacher, every believer who has ever shared God's word knows what it's like to feel like they didn't listen. I wonder how many times Buddy Fox thought that teenager that comes with the Price family, I am wasting my time. He's half asleep, he's wicked, he don't want to listen, and he doesn't listen. But that seed got in. Oh, and I'll tell you what, it progressed to something that brought forth fruit. And then lastly, I mentioned the planting of the seed. That sower has to broadcast the seed. He has to let go of it. He has to release it. If it don't get in the soil, there'll be no harvest. If the sower, I'm talking this morning about a sower, seed, and soil. And the sower, who's the sower? I know the Lord, but who's the sower? Me. Who's the sower? You. If we do not release it, if we do not speak it, it can do nothing. Right. Listen, seed in a sack on a shelf is dead and useless. Right. And the Word of God in our heart, not spoken, can do no good. We are sowers, the planting of the seed, studying the Word, I love to. Loving the Word, I do, is not enough. We must sow it. Learning all the details and all the things that most people don't know. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But we must proclaim it. We must sow the seed. It must be planted. We need to be sowers. I come to my point. So what? What does this mean to me? It means we can sow the Word no matter who you are. I know Jesus spoke the Word. I know the parable is directed primarily toward Him, but it applies to us. Preacher, teacher, doesn't matter if you're a believer, you're a sower. How can you sow the Word? How can you sow the seed? We can sow by witnessing. Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. God said in Isaiah, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Sowing the seed is witnessing. Get this book, find verses that apply to lost people and how to be saved and memorize them, use them, be ready for them whenever the time comes when there's a field in your yard. There's a person who wants to hear or needs to hear. We can sow by witnessing. We can sow by teaching, not just a teacher in a class, but all of us. The Bible teaches that we all are teachers, for we have the Word of God in us and we are to share it with others. Listen to what the Bible says, Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children. That tells the older ladies, the older mamas, to teach. Teach what? The Word of God to the younger. That applies to the men. That applies to older to younger. It applies. We teach the Word of God. Jesus said the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The Great Commission is more than just witnessing to a lost person, but once they get saved, we also are to teach them whatsoever the Lord said. That's a big deal. That's sowing the seed. We can sow by witnessing, by teaching. We can sow by encouraging. Listen to Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. He said, a part of my ministry and yours is to provoke others, encourage others, stir others. How do we do this? By the Word of God, telling them, sharing with them, using the Word of God to encourage. I guarantee you one thing, there's somebody this morning who needs some help from God, needs a good brother or sister to call, write a card and put a verse. Oh, I'm telling you, don't let these people think they're forgotten. These folks that's been out, these folks that have been sick and hurting for weeks, don't let them be forgotten. Don't let them think we forgot them. Tell them, call them, write them a card, let them know, give a verse in there. It's sharing, it's encouraging them. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth, sharing the seed. We can sow by witnessing and teaching and encouraging. This is a dangerous one. We can sow the seed by confronting. You better pray about this one. And Luke 17:3 is still in the Bible. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. I'm underlining my pause. There are times when we need to confront a brother or sister in Christ over an issue. I say quickly, there are times we can just let it go. It ain't big enough to get disturbed about. If we can forget it, if we can pray about it and let it go, we ought to. But there are times when the issue is important enough to where we are to go to them. And when we go to them, we are to make sure we go biblically. That we are founding ourselves, we are basing what we say on the Word of God, the seed. And that we're not just snapping, we're not just fussing, but we are doing something biblical. Galatians 2:11 says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, he says, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Paul said, I had to talk it over with Peter. And there's no doubt it was a spiritual design, spiritual intent, and spiritual outcome. It worked. 1 Timothy 5:20 says, them that are sin, rebuke. I say again, that part we better pray about earnestly. Let me wrap it up. The Lord said, I want to speak to people. And some won't listen. Some don't care. Some reject me. So I'm fixing it toward those who don't care and don't want to listen. They'll hear words, wah, 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 wah. It'll make no sense. Sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Make no sense. He said, but the ones who know me, they'll get it. And I want you to know as believers, I think the Lord would say to us this morning, you are sowers. You have the Word of God at your disposal. And sharing it with others is vital. There is no harvest without the sowing of the seed. I think we all ought to beg God to help us to be the proper sower we need to be. That is a big request. That may literally change our lives. I want to say this and I'm done. The reason for parables was because somebody wouldn't listen. I'll close with this thought. When God speaks, do we listen? He's trying to help us. He's trying to help us. Like a seed in soil does good things. I want to close this service, this message, by asking you to ask yourself, do I really listen when God speaks? Brother Butch, y'all come ahead. I've asked him to close this service with what we opened in Sunday school. Have thine own way. Let's stand together.